Snap is back. Pressure from Lawson. He heaves it down the right side of the field. Double coverage. Tip to the ground. Was it intercepted or caught? Caught on a deflection.
Intercepted.
Oh, no, it was intercepted.
Yeah.
And by who? Amani Oruwariye.
Whoa. All right. Final hour, fist pump time Friday with the fan cam. It is a victorious Cowboys Friday with Sean, RJ, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We got Peyton in the back, and we are live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks for being a total. That stands for turn it on and leave it on. You can go hang out with the KNC Masterpiece today at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. We'll crosstalk with the fellas at 9:40. Nick Eatman back from the Meadowlands, 9:20. DallasCowboys.com. Anything else you want to get off your chest about this game before we cover the rest of the football weekend? Anything else?
The summary is don't let last night fool you into thinking, and I don't mean fans, I mean that team. Don't let that team.
Yeah, I don't think any fan is fooled.
I don't want the team to be.
Maybe Mickey Fisher.
I don't want the team to be fooled by what that was last night and think that this is somehow a fix. Don't apologize for the victory. Absolutely take it. Be happy with it and be happy with some of the areas where you had success, but do not get comfortable and think that you've solved things because you scraped by against the Giants in a game where, honestly, the Giants consistently played pretty well moving the ball down the field on you.
I was trying to figure out what this music was. If we're going celebratory, it's just kind of around the NFL music.
Yeah.
Did everyone put out their analytics of what the Cowboys are supposed to do, like the win percentage? Did you get a picture of that or memorize it off TV with what's happening with the schedule?
Oh, yeah. I did get a picture of that. So the next, what, five or six games, you know, the easy games, according to Rex. let's see. This coming week, next week, Steelers, their chance to win is
46%.
It is 46%.
Yeah, nailed it.
Lions. Home game against the Lions.
35.
44.
You looked. Very nice.
Jeez. No, I knew the first one. That one, I guessed.
You said 35, football. Bobby. 35% is actually the week after at San Fran.
I mean, that's 0%.
Nice buzz. I like
it. Then week 9 at the Falcons. Their chance of winning at the Falcons.
58.
47.
The Falcons favored? Wow.
The chance to win against the Eagles here at AT&T.
52.
Oh, no, it's under. 44.
43. Houston at home at AT&T.
But that'll say 41%. It's actually 10.
46.
52.
Ooh.
Their only chance to win over the next
over Bobby's AFC
six is the Houston Tech. Well, Houston's played poorly.
Their only chance over the next six?
They're only favored, expected to win. If you were to simulate 10,000 times, the only one they would win more of would be.
And that was Houston. Six games?
Six games.
Okay, so that would put them at 3-7. Or whatever that is at that point.
The Cowboys' best hope right now moving forward has nothing to do with their football team. It is all the question marks at the top of the NFC. That's it. Lucky again with the way things could be playing out. San Francisco is tied for last place at 1-2. Are we all really going to buy the Saints? The Vikings are 3-0. Is that going to come crashing back down to earth? Jordan Love has been hurt and banged up. Philadelphia doesn't look invincible whatsoever. The susceptibility, the weakness of the NFC is the most hope for the Dallas Cowboys. It has nothing to do with them as we stand 3 weeks in.
Yeah, that's completely fair.
Fair. It's brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. The funny thing about that is like when we talk about the susceptibility of the NFC and like putting a team like New Orleans in there. It's like, well, that's a New Orleans team that's already shown they can beat your ass.
Yep,
so, I mean, even still, there's...
And Green Bay.
Yeah, there's... You've got plenty of Shanahan tree schemes coming down your way, too, in the next several weeks with these offenses. So,
all right, before we check in with Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, RJ Choppy takes us around the rest of the NFL. Who needs it more? And then degenerate picks.
All right, who needs it more? Bears versus Rams.
You don't both? You don't say versus?
I don't.
Okay.
I know. I'm a verse guy.
Who needs it more, Bears or Rams?
They're both 1-2.
The Rams. I am getting ready to punt on my Chicago Bears playoff prediction that we all had.
We all had. I had it.
Although it's hard to, I can't put any stock in the Rams because
Peyton's the only one without it.
Well, they don't have any receivers to throw to. But I'm thinking of the Rams as more credible.
Tutu Atwell.
So I'm gonna say the Rams need it more.
Yeah, the Rams need it more because they. Like, might actually have a shot to make the playoffs right now. That I can just burn at this point, that I put Chicago in there, because Caleb Williams is not been, he's clearly not going to be ready this year to make a difference the way he needs to.
He's buns. He's cheeks.
Right now, he is
cheeks,
for sure.
As the kids say.
That's a new thing, cheeks?
Cheeks. Booty cheeks. He's cheeks.
And that means like a bum?
Yeah, apparently booty cheeks are a bad thing for the Gen Zs
it's
out
like
there.
Saying, it's like saying that he's ass. It's like that.
He's you're trash, excited. Kid.
Yeah, I didn't want to. You're trash, bro. You're trash. Eagles versus Tampa. Both are 2-1. Who needs it more?
Probably just for their own sanity and the issues that seem to crop up with them all the time when they struggle. Philly. Because every loss, it feels like, for Philly is something that starts causing a stir and causes all these tension issues within their locker room. And Philly is clearly in a spot where, okay, well, now we've already got Dallas picked up a win. They did it within the division. We see Washington's playing well. We need to keep pace. So, yeah, probably Philly.
What's your answer to this? It's a tough one for me.
Well, I think Philly needs it more. I like Bobby's point. I think from the Sirianni standpoint of the sky, they will crumble much, much easier than Tampa, who has a much more, even though their division's going to be quite difficult. I mean, you're going to have three teams that are, I mean, they're not
depending
really,
on
really
what
good.
Atlanta is. I don't know what Atlanta is.
Well, and Tampa's going to have a chance to that point as after this Eagles game. Tampa gets three of their next four against their division. So they can, yeah. If they lose this, they're still like, all right, we got a chance to kind of control things.
Is that your phone?
That was us. It was Siri went off.
It's just random.
I know.
Don't you have the newest phone of us?
But yeah, but when you say, it picks it up when you say something, because I said Sirianni.
Oh.
And it did that. Right. So, yeah. Lions or Seahawks? Seattle's 3-0, but they could take a stranglehold in the NFC West. Lions are 2-1, but they got Minnesota 3-0 in the North. And with Ooh. San Fran's injuries, I mean, they could be in a position to get a really good seed.
Yeah.
And have home games.
Detroit, for sure. Because Green Bay, like what LaFleur has been able to do at this point with Malik Willis and everything that's occurred there and keeping pace and the Vikings playing like they have. Detroit is seeing right now that division is more of a fight than they probably anticipated.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm, I agree. These two teams don't play each other, but what 1-2 team needs a win more? San Fran or Baltimore? Baltimore plays the Bills. San Fran's got the Patriots, so San Fran's going to win. But,
well, I mean, yeah, if you're telling me like who it's more crippling for, if San Francisco loses to the Patriots,
Just forget that. Just
Well, I'm looking at the rest of the division, and it's like Cleveland, I don't think, is bouncing back. Sorry, Derek Holland. Cincinnati, you're waiting for them to go ahead and wake up before Zach Taylor is fired. And then the NFC West, what is Arizona and the Rams going to be? Who needs it more? You can also factor in like early home field advantage talk if you want. I'll say Baltimore needs it more still.
I'm going to say San Francisco just because Baltimore, like Cincinnati losing another game, like, okay, that kind of puts some separation there. And then you're going to get a chance to play them next week, play Cincinnati. So to me, that gives you some sort of separation. And I think somewhere in the back of everybody's head, they're thinking, how sustainable, even though I had him in my power rankings drop, how sustainable is what Pittsburgh's doing with the quarterback situation right. That they have? And that Baltimore may feel like, as long as we're within spitting distance, if San Francisco falls to 1-3 and then they got like the Chiefs coming up and some of that stuff on their schedule, that could be bad.
All right. What 3-0 team is in better shape with a loss, Pittsburgh or Minnesota?
Minnesota, because they're better.
Better.
Minnesota, because they're better, I will say. But then Pittsburgh has the division that is trailing them more, right? A less dangerous division.
Right.
Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincy. It could be. I might change my answer.
So who's in a better position if they lose?
If they lose.
Pittsburgh. Because because this is Minnesota's first shot at a division game, and it's against Green Bay, who's going to be right there with them. You don't want to drop a division game. Pittsburgh's is the Colts, so.
I agree.
I'll say Pittsburgh.
What 0-3 team?
I said it first.
Which 0-3 team has... they would have none, but which 0-3 team would have a better chance of still making the playoffs with a loss? Cincy or Jacksonville?
Cincy. Jacksonville's trying to figure out, you know, who exactly they're going to pick in the top five, I think.
I mean, they might fire Peterson if they lose.
Cincinnati, yeah, that's the easy...
Dude, people are asking, this is an amazing question. If it was actually Trevor Lawrence
that killed
Urban Meyer fired, not the other way around.
I mean, look, we've been watching the Aaron Hernandez documentary. He seems like a great manager of personalities and stuff like that. I can't imagine he was the issue here.
Seems with it.
Yeah, he's managed the quarterbacks fine in the past. Yeah, I think Cincinnati's just got...
But Indy, Tennessee, and the Texans Texans are 2-1 with a minus 19-point differential.
Ooh.
Like, the South is still bad.
Yeah, Cincinnati, I just look at...
There's more of a path.
Because
Cincinnati's better, we think, but it's the path versus who's better.
Right.
I think Cincinnati. Cincinnati's better. Cincinnati hasn't played a game within their division yet. That's it. Now, I saw some... I'm going to have to pull it up. Is that the end of your questions?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a note that there's apparently a simulation model that could see the Bengals winning the next 14 games. Like, it's a statistical possibility the way the schedule falls. They could win the next 14 games and miss the playoffs. They could go 14-3 and miss under a certain circumstance.
Let's try to make you some pigskin money with the degenerate.
We are already 2-0 on the week.
Oh.
Cowboys minus 4.5.
Nice.
Temple and Army with the over.
I'll tell you, I'm betting Temple games on the over. If the over is under like 50, I'm just gonna ride with Temple over picks because they can't stop a nosebleed. So 16-16 overall in the year so far. Not the greatest start, but 16-16, you're still got most of your cash.
Instead of Mickey Fisher, we should be calling him Jeff Fisher.
Right, absolutely. Let's go college here first. I have four selections for you in the college game.
That was 500. Good. Come on. Yeah, that was good. Come on, that was good.
BYU plus the 3.5 at Baylor. I think Baylor may squeak this one by, but BYU just put it to K-State, a very good K-State team.
Ah, Mormons versus the Christians.
Absolutely.
Battle of the Prophets.
Mormons will tell you they're Christian.
Battle of the Prophets.
OU minus 2.5 at Auburn. Dude, Auburn can't get out of their own way. They can't get out of their own way. OU is only a 2.5-point favorite. I like the new OU quarterback. I thought he showed some good things at the end of last week's game against a good Tennessee team. So give me OU minus 2.5. I'm taking Illinois plus 17.5 at Penn State with the whiteout energy. It's not a whiteout, but they've got whiteout energy, according to Brett Bielema. But 17.5 is just too many points. This is a pretty decent Illinois team. They went on the road. They beat Nebraska. So give me Illinois plus 17.5. And I don't care that Sluka quit. No. I am taking UNLV minus 1.5 against Fresno State. What? You're looking at me all funny. You're looking at me all wrong.
I'm surprised you're doubling down on it.
On what?
On your UNLV hype.
Oh, they're a good team. They're a solid team. And the new guy they got in, Hodge, he's like a 60-year player too. He's like 28 years old.
Nice.
So it's not like they've got some 18-year-old kid out there. NFL, Sunday. Maybe some on Monday. Minnesota plus 2.5 at Green Bay. All right, Vikings plus 2.5. Cincinnati minus 4.5 at Carolina.
4.5, that's it?
That's it. I'm taking the Rams as a 3-point dog at Chicago. I don't know how they're an underdog.
They don't have anyone to throw to.
They won last week without anybody to throw to against San Fran.
True.
And that was a road game.
True.
At home. Did you see that photo?
No.
What?
It was, SoFi was a 75% Niner crowd. It was all red. Let's see. Washington plus 3.5 at Arizona. I'll take the over in Detroit and Seattle. These two teams, it's only 46. These two teams play 35-31 games when they meet up. And then I am going to take the Pittsburgh-Indianapolis over. It is over 40. Did you know, Bobby Belt, Indy is second in yards per play in the NFL? They just get to the red zone and they tinkle down their leg. So I am going to say that that's going to be a correction, and I'll take that over, and I'll post on whatever it is now, X, at RJ Chop.
Lamb is in a slot on the right this time. Snap to Prescott, looks right, now goes screen left. Dowdle with a block to the 10, to the 5. He's into the end zone, touchdown.
Brad Chan with a call on this radio station. We're your home for Dallas Cowboys football. Crosstalk with KNC at 940. We're also your home for Nick Eatman every Friday at this time from DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Cowboys after that game?
I feel a little better about them. Yeah. Okay. I think that... Yeah, wins are important, and especially the way the game unfolded, you know, and it was a long, short week for this team, and I think that you know, especially for the defense, a lot of I don't know, finger pointing was the right word, because they weren't really pointing at people, at specific people, but it was definitely a lot of words being said, and for them to kind of rally and win that game the way they did. I mean, the defense was, I mean. They were beaten up. I mean, all week long, it was a short week for them. But then, you know, during the game, I mean, everybody you could think of was in the tent or the locker room, or for them to just rally and win the game like that, I thought was impressive for the defense.
Why was the run defense so much better besides it just being the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, Devin Singletary has never scared anybody. So, I mean,
Shots fired.
I guess I say that respectfully, but I mean...
Respectfully,
you've stumped your entire career. Yeah, I started him in fantasy, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't... I thought in the middle was better, too. I mean, that was where it starts. I mean, I thought Mozzie Smith played his best game of his career. Now, that's not saying a lot. He hadn't had a lot of great moments, but that was a really good game. That's what you're supposed to do at that position. Him and Osa, I thought, played well, and that helps them set the edges. I mean, Overshown, that dude's flying around. I mean, that's what it's supposed to look like, I think, for him. So, Kendricks was all over the place. The Giants are not a potent running team, and it showed in the Cowboys. Took advantage of that. I think I might have said this on the show a couple days ago. I don't even know what day it is anymore, but. I said that on the show that I thought we would see. It's not always going to be Kamara and Henry. You know, we'll see what it looks like against this Giants team, because if they get run over by them, then there's just a huge problem. There's somewhere in the middle of you know, maybe they're not as bad as what we saw in the last couple of games, and then you know this game's a little tougher to tell, but at least it's somewhere in the middle.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Nick, success on a couple of drives early where they get the scoring drives there, and Dak played efficiently. PFF, right. I think I just saw they came out with their grades. He was top graded player on offense for the Cowboys. But there's still a very pulled back or reduced kind of passing game where they're not pushing the ball down the field the way they did a lot in the second half of last year. Do you think that was just playing to this certain game, or is there a shift in philosophy right now for how they want to use the passing game?
I just don't think the running game opens up the passing game at all. And I think last year you had a little bit more dynamic players with Pollard. And I think that's where it stems from. And then I don't know if there's a lack of, like, we're just not going to throw it down the field, but I just think when you can't run it as much, I think that the coverages are different. But they're still figuring this out. I thought it was a force to get the ball to CD, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, I like the way they did that. Their first touchdown drive, I think seven different players caught it. One of them was called back with Deuce, but you know, six different players caught it. But they still, three or four of those were to CD. So I like the way that they spread the ball around there, and they're still trying to figure this out of how they're going to do this with the running game. But you know, they might have found something with Hunter Liffke in a, I don't know if this is a fair comparison, but it, you know, kind of like a Kyle Juszczyk role for the 49ers, where he, mm-hmm. you know, he's a fullback but does a lot of tight end things and maybe can run it every now and again. You know, Liffke was really impressive in the game.
How many rush attempts would you like to see CD get?
One, but
just to keep him honest, right? That's just to keep him honest.
One, you know, and I think a fake reverse every now and again, it still does some you know, good damage as well. Would have liked to have seen a fake on that. Was it they were down in the goal line? And I guess they lost a few yards. They were moving there, but you know, not a ton. I don't think that's where he's. Well, I don't know. He's got your two of your three longest runs of the season are from CD. So I don't, you know, that's not a good thing. But it does keep him honest, like you said.
Nick, Tyler Guyton had a really tough game in terms of from penalties. It looked like the pass rush was giving him some trouble on a few different occasions. How long would those sort of instances have to go on, do you think, before the Cowboys start saying, all right, once Chuma Edoga is healthy, we need to start maybe evaluating if he needs some time?
I don't think that will ever happen. I mean, it would have to be really – I mean, Bobby, I mean, it would have to be, like, really, really bad. Like that happens. That has to happen every single game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be that way. I think you'll do more chipping. You'll do more double team. You'll provide a little bit more help for him. Then to turn to Edoga or anybody really there on this roster right now. I think he's going to have to learn on the run and keep doing that and learn how the officials call things. I know he was saying after the game, you know, he's already saying, you know, the refs didn't do a good job or whatever. I mean, he struggled. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but he still has to learn how you know where to put your hands, how you can do it. I mean, you have to hold. Everybody holds. You just got to figure out how to hold without them calling it. And those are things he's going to have to learn. But I mean, this is part of it, right? When you draft a left tackle late in the first round, he's not a high first round pick. He's late in the first round. He's going to have some issues early on, and you know, he definitely did. This was his toughest game for sure.
Nick Eatman on the D&M Leasing Hotline. How serious do you think the injuries are for Micah and Tank?
For Micah, I mean, you know, getting carted off is never a good thing. But he, just listening to him in the locker room, you know, we got to do this next week, and you know, what he has to do. I feel like he thinks he's going to be a part of it. That would be great, you know, obviously, if he could do that, but I just don't think it's going to be major. There'll be an MRI today. You guys know that, but I just don't have a sense it's going to be really a major thing at all, or even a multiple week thing. I mean, he might miss one, but I don't think it'd be that big. I mean, you do have two games and then a bye. I still think that both of them will play in at least one of these two games coming up, Pittsburgh or Detroit, if not both.
Was there relief in the locker room? Was there joy? There was.
It was relief. It was. You know, this is, and I don't know if you guys had seen this stat, but you know, this is the first time in the history of the franchise that they played a road game on 4 days rest, which I thought was unbelievable that's never happened, because it happens to every team in the league every week.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cowboys have never done that. They've never been on the road for four games like that, and it was taxing on them. And then not only you throw in the other stuff of details, this and accountability, this leadership, this, and everyone's kind of pointing at each other. It was a tough week. And then, you know, they're trying to figure out, are we good? I mean, what are we? What, everyone's trying to figure this out. And I don't even know if you have figured it out with a game like that, because the Giants are the Giants. I mean, I thought, you know, I took the point of, you know, I got to see it. I have to see the Giants beat the Cowboys for me to pick them. And I thought they were going to blow him out. And I'll tell you this, if Donovan Wilson tackles this guy in the backfield on fourth and one, I think they do blow him out. I mean, it's 14-6 at midfield. The Cowboys have scored twice in a row. I think they score again. And then I think Daniel Jones playing way behind, I think it would have been a blowout. But it wasn't. And the Cowboys, you know, they have to figure out ways to you know, put teams away a little bit better than that. But it was a relief to get a win.
You mentioned the relief in the locker room. How about over on the coach's side? Who do you think that game was bigger for them, Mike McCarthy or Mike Zimmer?
Zimmer, I think. I think it was, you know, Zimmer has said it. Hey, I've gotten it fixed before. It's my job to fix it. And, I thought they had a nice game plan. And again, everybody was getting banged up. I mean, Overshown limps off the field. Leofau goes off the field, you know, cramps for Diggs. I mean, just the way that they had to kind of fight in that game, I thought was impressive. And then over Warrior, I mean, well, what a story that is. I mean, the guy doesn't even know if he's playing until the morning. And then, you know, I mean, as I wrote, he got called up 2 times in 1 day. He got called up to the team and then called up to the starting lineup at halftime and then goes and makes a play. And you could tell he got better as that half went on. They picked on him right away, and he actually got better and made a play and, you know, made a couple plays there, really, in the second half. So that was impressive. And he's, what, your fourth corner at the time? And, you know, but that game makes everyone wonder, okay, when's Bland coming back? He could come back this week. I have a hard time thinking he does, but he could be eligible this week.
You best friends with Post Malone now?
No, I didn't really get to meet him, but he was friends with everyone down there, and just what a good dude he is. And, you know, he just loves the Cowboys, loves Aubrey. I mean, that was kind of neat, you know, for Brandon Aubrey to be able to, you know, he's wearing his jersey. And I guess Brandon had known him in the past or something like that. But it was that was pretty cool. A little spark down there, I guess, before the game and pregame.
Great stuff, man. Enjoy a Cowboy-less weekend with the fam. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
Nick Geatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Let's crosstalk and figure out and find out how and where you can hang out with the KNC Masterpiece next.
And they're going to run the play, hand it to Lipke, coming left, breaks a tackle across the 40, all the way up to the 45-yard line. You cannot stop Hunter Lipke. You can only hope to contain him.
It is time for crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin Hagan looks like he's in a good mood, maybe because he's not in the same room with us. Where are you fellas?
Well, yeah, I thought that was a funny statement from Brad Sham. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite, 3900 Pavilion Court. If you want to come see us, I know your navigator will say, they don't open until 11 o'clock. They're open now. You can just come on in and you'll be fine.
So what's the go-to order now? Do you alternate? I imagine Kevin is kind of a same order every time. I could see Corey alternating a little bit. What's the go-to, or what are you feeling today?
So my go-to, and I'm not trying to spark off an argument or anything like that, is
boneless is better wing.
Is the boneless Buffalo mild wings, just because it's hard to eat regular wings in an environment like this for us hosting the show, because people want to chat and like hang out, and that's great, and take pictures and everything.
Can't sign autographs with like messy hands.
It doesn't lend yourself to being like, hey, let's take a picture. Oh. And so the boneless wings work better when I'm hosting the show, I feel like. I don't know if Corey thinks the same.
But otherwise, you're fine with regular bone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't love the way you phrase that question.
Yeah, Kevin loves the bone.
Love the bone.
He loves the bone.
Big fan of the bone.
Yeah, huge bone fan.
I really like the potato wedges here as well.
Dude, the tots, perfect. Every single time. And that goes with one of our topics today,
it does.
Too. Because the potato tot is the best form of potato.
Oh, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Potato tots.
I love tater tots. I love wedges as well.
Tater tots are fine. The problem is they break apart sometimes if the ketchup gets too heavy and you know they don't have the good crusted integrity of the outside.
He's right.
Then
he's right.
You got to use a fork, and I am steadfast against using a fork of French fries.
Wait a second. a perfect RJ Choppy contrarian take
don't
here.
Don't try to make sense of me.
You want you prefer
great line.
Boneless wings for the mess, so you have to eat those with a fork.
Well, I prefer boneless wings for the mess because because I don't like sauce on my fingers because inevitably it gets caught in the side of your fingernail and then it's like there like 3 days later no matter how you scrub.
But that's good because when you chew your nails, you get a little sauce left.
I don't like to taste food that I'm not eating. Fries, you just do this with your hands, right? You just put them together. You just brush off the salt. So fries and pizza. My dad, he was a big fork pizza guy. He is a fork fry guy. Okay, he is fry. He goes, in business, son, you never can eat with your hands at a business meeting. Apparently, they fed you at business meetings back in the day. I don't know.
And they fed you fries and pizza.
Yeah, you never eat with your hands. A real man does not eat with their hands. That's what he used to tell me. And now he's doesn't know where the hell he is.
And Corey, you're wing over, and now he's still getting fed.
That's sad.
He's now literally getting fed. But he stopped eating, so that's good.
Where are you with that?
You know, my mom texted me during the show the other day, and it was to me and my two sisters, and it was like at 8 in the morning, and that's like, I told her, I says, listen, if you're gonna text the three of us at 8 in the morning, like, just make sure it's the text that he passed, because my heart sank.
He better be dead.
He better be dead. I almost handed Sean the phone, and I was like, hey, can you read this for me, because the 8 o'clock in the morning text, when it's to my sisters and me, we know it's about my dad, and the 8 o'clock in the morning text is usually the, he didn't wake up. So I didn't want to see that.
I'm sorry, RJ.
It's okay.
That's brutal.
I try to make jokes about it so I can make myself feel better.
I get it. I went through this with my dad. I very much understand what you're going through.
Corey, what's your wing order, by the way?
Usually when we're here, it is similar to Kevin's. It's the regular mild or the regular flavor with a fork so that I can get that rolling. But otherwise, I would go with a little bit hotter, like if I'm on my own, not having to work, a little bit hotter, and sauce. It's the sauce. So that's from the cornerback up in New York. It's
sounds
his flavor.
About white.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's fantastic. But today I think I'm rolling a burger. I think they have a really good burger out here. So I think I'm going to roll with that today because that's kind of what I'm craving. So good luck to me.
Do you guys have Jerry on?
Yeah.
Yep. What do you want
you
us to ask?
Go?
I want you to ask Jerry, and if you don't, I'm fine to steal it on Tuesday. I want you to ask him about this Rex Ryan audio and ask if he's frugal in paying coaches.
Because I'm not going to lie, Sean. I probably won't ask that. Corey might.
You have been asking tough questions for the past 2 weeks.
I just think Ryan is a buffoon who just says things that are not factually accurate. Like, I've heard him talk every morning on whatever show, and he's like, you know, if I was the coach, and I was like, I've seen you coach defense. You're terrible, like, 8 years in a row. That's why nobody wants your sorry-ass coach.
Wow.
Whoa! Nailed it, Hagee.
This was a morning show battle between Bobby and Choppy.
I don't know. I don't know what Bobby's issue with Rex is. Maybe Bobby thought he had the foot fetish media cornered, that he was the guy. He wanted to be the only media member.
Look, there's plenty of space there for all of us.
I get it with Haglin. Rex Ryan is he's kind of like me. He's morally bankrupt. Haglin doesn't jive with that, so I understand Haglin's issue.
I get along with you. He's not good at coaching defense. That's my issue.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I seem to think that the Jets defense was really pretty good.
Yeah. If you go back to like 8 years before he got fired, it was pretty good. But then he kept coaching, and it was not good.
Yeah, you're talking about like he got to the Jets, and the very first year he's there, they're like the number one defense for 2 years in a row. So it's clearly not like he built it in his way. And then when he did have a chance to kind of build the defense the way he wanted, they were bad.
For those that missed it, it was Rex Ryan saying, yeah, I would have been the D coordinator, but Jerry didn't want to pay up. They wouldn't pay the money. So
not
you're
true.
Bull crap.
You're not going to ask about it, Kevin.
I fundamentally think that's not true. So probably not.
Okay.
Corey might.
Hang on a second. So we've heard kind of stories about Jerry not paying.
No.
I'm not think that topic.
No. I'm not saying that I don't believe that he could be cheap. I just think with this particular individual, he's just making up fantastical stories so he can dunk on Mike Zimmer and try to pretend like he might be something.
But let's use that as the conduit to figure out if Jerry is frugal, that he only, with coaches.
The people want to know.
That he only brought back McCarthy because McCarthy had 1 year left, that he would never pay the price for a Sean Payton or a Bill Belichick. Let's use this as an opportunity to get there. Or we'll do it Tuesday.
Let me ask you this question then. I want to know from y'all.
Can I say something real quick? For me, I have other things I want today, but I do think that's a really good Tuesday question for
you. You just patted me on the back.
You did.
Do you guys think that's the case, or do you think he just doesn't want to do the work? Because that's what I think it is. I think he's like, well,
do the work coach. Of what?
New coach, that sounds hard. I got to go interview
build
people
relationships.
And do stuff.
Yeah.
Let me just call Jay Glazer.
Yeah.
So you think it's laziness?
Yes, that is exactly what
I think. It's going to take away from my helicopter time.
You really believe that?
Yes.
They don't want to go sit and meet?
Yeah, no, that's a lot of extra work. Like when you
like
hear
free agency.
I've never heard this. That's interesting.
Oh my God. Talent acquisition 24/7, 365, unless it's on spring break, as long as it fits into our window of when we want to do it. That's just factually I'll try that again. That's not factual. It's my opinion. They don't want to put in the work.
I think they actually enjoy their opportunities to sit down and talk football with people. Like I think they enjoy that process. I just think that they're not wanting to open themselves up to anybody who doesn't have experience typically. Like, that's the problem is that they've narrowed the field so much that they're not going to go interview.
It's retreads.
I don't think they're going to go interview Slowick. I don't think they're going to interview Clint Kubiak or, Ben Johnson. Like, they're just not going to do those interviews. So it narrows the field to, like, a handful of people that they would
talk
to.
And they won't do a college head coach, even if it's a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, they just have not had good experience with college head coaches.
No, they have not. Absolutely not. They've never won Super Bowls with college head coaches.
I'm curious, Sean, that you are starting to pique my interest a little bit with the idea of, like, how much did Rex Ryan think he deserved? And how much different was it than Zimmer? And, when you're buying stuff, when you're buying products, you go look at the shelf and you go, is it worth it to get this and this? Is it close enough to say this is good enough? I don't know that Rex Ryan's defense is something that I have to pay everything for it.
You guys were unanimous, obviously, Kevin, Corey, Zimmer over Rex when it came down to it, if it came down to it?
Yeah.
Bobby?
Yes, Zimmer over Rex.
No, I would add Rex. I absolutely would add Rex.
Okay.
You're going through some growing pains right now for sure, though. You're definitely going through some pains.
Yeah, I mean, a lot, both, and obviously it's personnel dependent, too. Like, if you don't have the right personnel.
You mean the second greatest corner of all time?
Well, no, I think Rex was a
Deron Bland.
I think Rex was a 3-4 guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you would have to. I mean, so you would have to make sure that the personnel would have matched. And if it didn't, because we saw this with Parcells, there were some growing pains that you had to go through there to get the proper guys.
So you think that, but you would think that Rex would be a better coach when he's that scheme dependent and that handcuffed. Whereas Zimmer says, you can give me 4-3 or 3-4, and I'll coach the top 10.
Well, no, I think that he would prefer to have a 3-4 defense. Like, that's what he would want to run. So, like, you would already start the process of having to change up. Jerry talked about this when they brought Parcells in. Like, they did not want Bill to run a 3-4 necessarily because, like, they had to – I mean, first of all, the Cowboys have always been a 4-3 team. And it was a nightmare to change up personnel.
Kevin, did you watch the end of Vince?
No, I'm halfway through.
What are you
through.
Even doing, man?
I know, because the baby needs attention and all of that stuff.
That's what the wife is for. That's what the woman's for.
Wow. Holy moly. I'm halfway through.
Just kidding, dear, if you're listening.
Episode 5. So I got about an episode and a half to go. And, like, I stand firm with what I told you yesterday. I do not see how this is a slanted or biased product whatsoever.
Yeah, that one of his right-hand guys, I really wanted to
Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, I wanted to kick him in the nuts yesterday listening to him. Like, you guys did an SE job, and you this and you that. Now, the final episode is all of the trafficking and the sexual assault and all that stuff, and Vince did not sit down for the final interviews. I really wanted them to ask. Have they ever asked his wife about him sleeping around?
Not really. I kind of wonder if it's a, and I don't know if you could relate this to anyone else, I can't say. I kind of wonder if it's a situation where it's like, hey,
agreements.
As long as I'm in the loop, or as long as something doesn't come up and embarrass me,
yeah,
you're good.
In the loop with Reggie.
I love the, he's like Frenching, kissing
Frenching.
Sable and Trish Stratus while his wife
Steve Sable, the NFL Films guy?
I don't think it was Steve Sable.
It was a stunning turn of events in episode 5.
Sean, don't forget this.
Stunning Steve Austin.
The adults are turning
yes.
Always my advice, opening day for the state fair because fresh grease. Fresh grease is the way to go, and when you get there early enough, that place is empty, and it's you get the first of everything.
The KNC Masterpiece from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite on a Cowboys Friday. Everyone have a fantastic and safe weekend. KNC's next.